This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
I mean, there's a lot of run defenders in this class, a lot of guys who can play and help a team right away, be in a rotation. I just don't really see the high-end caliber athlete, caliber pass rusher in this class. Walter Nolan probably is the best shot, but you listen to people talk, and does he love ball? Is he really locked in? You know, he didn't test. Like, what kind of a guy is this we're getting? I think, and he has, you know, ups and downs on tape, too, I think, that are concerning. So, It's a scary class at the top. I think there's a lot of depth, though, and you'll find players who can play in the middle rounds.
Draft analyst John Ledyard on our morning show last week. Walter Nolan, there's the second time today for that name from Ole Miss. And likewise, Lance Zierlein in his mock draft wrote about him that maturity is in question, according to the opinions of some teams, apparently. But the talent is there. Do we like that? Do you want talent or do you want maturity?
I'd like both, Mike.
We'd like both. You can have one. Give me the player.
I think talent, like, I'm not someone who rolls their eyes at the interviews and culture and character and all the stuff. These are high-stakes job interviews. I recognize the traps that are there, but I still would rather do that than not do it. But I think the Bills should be easing into a place where they, and maybe not even easing into it, where they have a strong enough system here, that you bring someone in and you got to really try to not fit in, and fly straight and do things their way, because you're going to really stand out if you don't. And I think that, you know, that's not a nothing. What is 100% when you're talking about drafting 20, 21 year old, 22 year old dudes? Nothing is for certain. But I feel like they've got a strong enough situation here that you could make a guy into the best version of himself more readily than if, like, say, Rex Ryan was still their coach.
Yeah, they have credibility.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
So, you know, a guy doesn't have to take that to heart, you know, but I think I'd want to lower my desire to have that criteria met as maybe as much as it has been in the past, assuming they have that high up on their criteria, and I think they do.
They've just, and I think most people see this the same way, they've evolved to a point where they just don't have many guys that are elite. Like, top five at their position. I would say it's up to three. Allen for sure, and then it might be Dawkins and it might be Benford. But I don't think they have any. Is there somebody I'm missing? I don't think they have any. Maybe Spencer Brown deserves some credit. So they're really good at tackle, but they just don't have as many stars or, you know, great players. So how do you fix that, improve upon that this year? Well, it's not easy when you draft 30th. But I think this is kind of what you would do, is you think about it in terms of talent. And maybe then in a couple of years, one smooth free agent move, one trade, three or four draft picks, in maybe a couple of years you can be at a point where you're back. Because they did have a list of guys when Hyde and Poyer were in their primes. And I don't know if you wanted ever Von Miller as a Bill, but Diggs, of course. Like, they had Trey White. you know, Milano at his peak. What's that? Like seven or eight guys that arguably were top five at their positions or higher, top three in a couple cases. And I don't know if any, if you disagree, but that's not what it looks like now. And, you know, all season. And they won 13 and another division and AFC championship.
And we're that close.
So, right. So to their credit. But it's not saying much. I mean, everybody would want to do that, get as many top players, like the Eagles. That's the dream. And that, you know, paid off for them. You know, Garrett is, if it's doable, that's a step
right
in that direction, because he certainly is that.
Sure, he was up for Defensive Player of the Year again this year. Didn't win it, but won it last year, and is still, you're looking at still good years there. I mean, that road doesn't go on forever, but it is, yeah, that's one of the very best players in the league, period. Oh, at any position. Like, if you start talking about the, you know, run through your quarterbacks, but once you start talking about defenders, you're going to get to Garrett pretty fast. I mean, really, right? Maybe you prefer Parsons, maybe you prefer TJ Watt, but like, it's a pretty short list, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I it's a very compelling idea. I know how the Browns sound about it, and I'm still sort of expecting them eventually to do something. I said earlier already today that like the draft is a very important signpost for this idea, from a, you know, set the table for your off season type of way for a team trying to acquire him, right? There is not enough. There's no assurance you can give me that. Well, let's not draft an edge guy because we're going to make this trade in August. The Browns want us to wait till June, and we're going to be able to do it then. Like, that is, I don't want to live like that. So if the Browns want stuff to help them starting this year, and I don't know, maybe they don't, maybe they feel it'll be better for them in the long run if they wait. This draft is sort of a plateau between pick 15 to 20 to like pick 60 or 70 or something. So maybe they don't see a ton of value there and would rather get picks for next year. Yeah, I don't know what, and still look like, well, we told you we were going to just react to it and do it, but eventually you get worn down and you got to do what's best for your team and move on if you start to feel like the guy isn't going to show up. And that kind of stuff, like if it gets to that. But that, again, that doesn't happen in March and April. That happens in July and August.
Yeah, that's, the timing is tough on Garrett. Because, you know, I recognize that teams say a lot of things that they, you know, often maybe don't really mean. But they're talking more strictly about his status with them than sometimes happens. Like, you could get, you know, we've just got to do what's in our best interest. You know, just sort of these kind of platitudes. And it would not sound like the Browns, you know, were even, they could go either way when you talk like that. This guy, though, Barry.
It's defiant.
He's defiant. Like, no, we're not doing it. He gets questions at the combine about offers and that. And he's like, I'm not even thinking about them. Just completely dismissive. So at the risk of being naive here, I think, like, how could he go and move him now? And if it gets to be the summer and Garrett holds out and they're just completely far apart, then he could change his tune. But that shouldn't need to happen before then. And so what if you're the other teams? I mean, can the Bills or the Commanders or the Eagles or anybody else just kind of wait that out? That's tough.
That's what I'm saying. I think that is very hard. That doesn't mean you wouldn't still want a guy of that caliber on your team, but you've made other moves. Like you've done other stuff. That's why, like, I think it's entirely believable that the Bills, you know, I don't know, maybe this Barry is just hanging up on them or not even taking the calls anymore, but any team that wants him, to me, should be compelled to put their get as close as soon as you can to what the best you're going to do is, so that if they do end up feeling compelled, despite how it'll look like they, you know, did it the opposite of what they've been saying they were going to do, if you want to nudge them to the finish line, then, you know, make it, because you should be incentivized. A, you get the great player. B, you get him in a timeline that fits the rest of your offseason. You don't have to wait to put the pieces all together because, again, you've got this kingpin guy on your team. And that certainly, from a financial aspect, if not just a positional depth chart position, would impact what you're going to do the rest of free agency and, of course, in the draft.
803-0550 to join us. Sal will be on in about 25 minutes. Sabres and Canadiens in Montreal tonight. Rematch from Saturday. This is the 300th meeting between the Sabres and the Canadiens. The 299th did not go great.
No.
They've lost to them three times this year. And that could end up just being like the difference.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, they're going to have to do some work to make it the difference. But still, right. Sure, it could end up being the difference. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing has been somewhat flimsy to invest in to begin with. But here we are. It's the first five-game chunk. And we spent a lot of last week. Paul, I think last Monday or Tuesday? Lindy's got this idea, 3-1-1 every five games, five-game increments. And we'll just, you know, that can get you close to where you need to be. And here we are. It's the first five-game increment. It started off great, 2-0, and then thud. And so they can't even meet the threshold. You know, I don't – modest. What it's the threshold their coach gave them and set for them. And they're already behind. Just come on. There's no way for them to get 7 points out of these five games anymore.
Now, that's the thing that's weird about that approach. What I like about it is – it, you know, to the players, it can maybe make it sound doable. Like if you break it up like that, maybe it sounds, I think that's got to be the point, more doable than just whatever somebody on the radio says, you got to go 20-4.
Right.
Or whatever it would be. So that part of it's fine. But once you fail to meet the goal here for the first block, then what do you do?
Like, I know,
right? It's supposed to be one game at a time in sports.
Right.
And this is five games at a time.
Yeah.
And then this game, I mean, I'm just kind of being me, but this game doesn't matter because I can't – I'm already a loss when it comes to the first block. So
What it means is block five, you got to go 4-1.
I don't know if I want to play this game.
Or 4-0-1 in the next block of five. So you can get 9 points instead of this. Make up for the two you're not going to get here.
I don't know if I want to play this game, the five-game blocks. Now that the first one has been busted. Again, we'll talk to Sal coming up at 4 today. Paul Hamilton in the pregame show at 6. We're here for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.